Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. Happy Easter. I know for a while there, it was like you would say Happy Easter or Happy Resurrection Sunday. And if you said Happy Easter, it was a test of your spirituality. If you were a very good Christian, if you said Happy Easter, you might be suspect because you were calling it Easter instead of Resurrection Sunday. But we don't care, do we? Nope. So Happy Easter. So thanks for being here this morning. And Stevie's right that when we read Scripture, We should look and see different, new and freshing and just things that break through to our hearing and our way of living and our way of seeing. And we're in our fourth and final series message called Breaking Eggs. And for 3 weeks we've been in the Passion Week, starting with the Palm Sunday where everybody's shouting Hosanna, and then we end it last Sunday with Everybody shouting, crucify him. And we talked about some of those things. So I'm going to be today in Matthew 26 and Hebrews chapter 2. So you can kind of go to Matthew 26. We'll get there in just a minute. And then Hebrews 2 at the last point. But I'm going to be talking on this first point. I'm going to be talking mostly out of Matthew 27. But forgive me, I'm not going to read any scripture. You're going to be familiar with it. But we're not going to deal with the familiar Easter story this morning. In fact, we're just going to talk about the things leading up to Easter like we have been. But I want you to hear that everything that we talk about this morning and everything that you hope for is based on that Easter story, is based on the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the forthcoming, the Holy Spirit being sent to us today for Jesus to be able to live in and through us, okay? So I want you to hear that as I'm talking. As I'm talking, I'm going through these things. And so this morning we're going to say, like I said, in the book of Matthew, we've been there, and I hope you're reading along. When we do a series, it gives you an opportunity to read and to go deeper and to hear God throughout the week, not just come here and hear something. So this morning I've got 3 points. I want to get right into the 3 points. The first point is, I don't want your feelings to be hurt, okay? But the first point is Jesus doesn't trust you. Jesus doesn't trust you. If you're taking notes, write that down there. Jesus doesn't trust you, but I don't want you to feel bad about that, because I want to talk about in this first point 3 areas where Jesus doesn't trust other people. And this comes from Matthew 26 and 27 that we've been reading, and we see here that Jesus doesn't trust politicians. Jesus doesn't trust government. And most of us trust one type of government over another. Most of us hope that one politician will get replaced with another politician because we trust that other politician. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus didn't trust politics. He didn't put his life in the hands of a politician. In fact, when he stands before Pilate, it says he says a few things, but very little. And Pilate was amazed that he made no argument. Why did Jesus make no argument? Because he didn't trust government. He didn't put his trust in government. He had no fight with government. Government had no rule over him or what was important to him. Government had no rule over the peace that was going to be within him and the peace that he was going to bring, that he did bring, and that he was going to bring after his crucifixion. Jesus didn't put his trust in government because when we put our trust in something or someone, we begin to worship it. We put our trust in something or someone, we begin to demand that they do something for us, or that it does something for us, that it serve us, that it protect us, that it provide for us, that it makes us happy. And Jesus made a decision that he had one source for that protection, for that peace, for that happiness. And Jesus wasn't anti-Rome. He wasn't against the government or hateful towards the government. Jesus just knew he was here to usher in a new form of government. And that's what we see happening. We talked about it a couple Sundays ago, that there's a whole political, social environment that's playing out in Israel that's on a whole huge world scale. It's not just something happening to Jesus. It's the whole government being placed on his shoulders so he can come back and he can rule and reign in a new government. And Jesus wins the day. He wins Good Friday. He wins today, Easter, not by fighting Rome with human power, with human strength, but by surrendering his human body, his human weakness, to both governmental power and to godly power. So Jesus doesn't trust politicians, but you know what? There's someone else he doesn't trust. He doesn't trust, and I want you to hear this rightly, he doesn't entrust himself to the religious. He doesn't entrust himself to pastors, prophets, teachers, priests. He doesn't entrust himself to them. Lucretia and I were having a conversation a few months ago, and we were talking about how many people complain about their denominations, how many people complain about their churches, how many people complain about people on TV or on radio that are speaking or communicating the gospel in different ways. And I was expressing how amazed I was that people could talk that way about religion, yet still be worn out and tired and hopeless and broken, yet they kept going back to the same pew and the same thing, hoping that it would do something for them. And Christian's response was great. People just really love their religion. People just really love their religion. We love our religion. We love our preferences. And we're not even aware that there are preferences and not God's preferences. We're not even aware that we're using them as tools to hurt people instead of tools to train and bring people into the kingdom, into the gospel world. Now, I'm saying again, Jesus doesn't trust you, but he doesn't trust politicians. He doesn't trust priests, pastors, prophets. He doesn't entrust himself to them. Now, he trusts us in a different way, but that's a whole different message. So I want you to hear the extremeness of what I'm talking about. Jesus doesn't trust religion, and you shouldn't either. You know, I was thinking the other day this morning during worship, that the first time I spoke in front of a few of you was 12 years ago on an Easter Sunday. I think it was 2002, so that was 13 years ago. About 150 people, there used to be 1,000, about 850 people left in a week or two, and I had never spoken before there at that church. I was a Christian education director, and I stood up and basically I said, "Don't trust me. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Don't trust me." And I think I've been saying that since then. That doesn't mean don't trust him through me when you hear him through me. That doesn't mean don't trust me as a pastor in a certain way, but entrust yourself in your life and all that you have, all of your good things, all of your prosperity, all your failure, all your addiction, trust in him and not in your pastor, your priest, or your prophet. This religion, our values, our beliefs, our doctrine, and our principles cannot save us. They can't make us happy. They don't give us eternal life. They don't even give us the deep peace that's meant to abide right here, right now, in this life as we're living here. But it's difficult for us to see, once we see that religion can't save us, once we see that we don't have to trust pastors and priests and prophets. I'm just using those because they're all P words, by the way. You could put in evangelist or teacher or whatever, minister, whatever you want. But whenever we see, oh no, we're not supposed to trust them, they're not the ones I should follow, even though I know we're supposed to follow them even as they follow Christ. I'm good with saying that. I'm good with saying, follow me even as I follow Christ. But always put your trust in him. But we find out, oh no, they're fallible. They hurt us. They do things they shouldn't do. They do things and act ways differently than they say from the pulpit. And we always act shocked. And then we think, well, I need to throw out my religion. I need to throw out the pastors, the priests, the prophets, the rituals, the spiritual disciplines. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't trust it, but yet he still attends church. We assume he sang Jewish hymns. We know in one portion of Scripture that if you read in between the lines there, it says, and they sang a psalms together. I mean, if you read in between the stories we've been using, Jesus probably gave consistently of his first fruits. He shared, he taught, he read the Bible in his religious services, not in Christian services, but in Judaism. So we don't have to throw out government, be hateful, be anarchist. We don't have to throw out religion. We just don't trust them. We utilize them as tools to help us find the Father and bring us along. Think about that. Jesus found his Father in the middle of his religion. It's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus doesn't trust you, but again, don't feel bad. I want you to hear this. Jesus doesn't trust you. Jesus doesn't trust you, but he doesn't trust people in general. And he had amazing earthly relationships. We know he wept when Lazarus died, when the people of Jerusalem denied him and didn't follow him. He wept over them. because they missed that day of their salvation. We know that he loved his disciples. We know that there's men and women across the Gospels that he loved, but he didn't entrust himself to them. Now, it's easy to see why Jesus wouldn't trust Judas, but certainly he would trust John, his closest disciple. Certainly he would trust Lazarus, his best friend. But Jesus knew, this is what he knew, and when it came to loving people, that in order to love the world best, in order to love the world strongest, in order to love the world in the right way, he had to put his complete trust in his Heavenly Father. It's a good lesson for us to learn, isn't it? If you want to love your wife really, really well, if you want to love your friend really, really well, don't trust them. Trust him. You want to have really, really good friendships? Don't trust them. Trust him. And in trusting him, you'll find the right level of trust in your marriage, with your friends, with your priests, with your politicians. And as we conclude this first portion, I want to use this scripture here in John 2, 24 and 25. In the Message, it says it really well. But Jesus did not entrust his life to them. He knew them inside and out, knew how untrusty they were. He didn't need any help in seeing right through them. And I want us to know that even though Jesus didn't trust government, he abides by government. Even while he doesn't trust Judaism, he participates fully in the religious activities of Judaism. Even though he doesn't betray, even though he doesn't trust his disciples, and Judas betrays him, and it says the other 11 flee when he's arrested, he is completely, fully engaged in loving relationships with people here on this earth. So when we find out that we shouldn't trust, we're like, well, I'm gonna be over here. I'm gonna manage my life. I'm gonna hide over here. I'm gonna like be hard and strong or I'm just gonna. We talked about protection some time ago, and I'm gonna do those things. I'm gonna hide and manage. Or I'm gonna be angry and keep people away. But that's not what Jesus is talking about when he's saying, "Don't trust other people." In fact, we engage more fully with the world when our trust is in him. This reminds me of a story of my Uncle Oscar. He had never flown before, and he was really afraid. And he was flying from Oregon, where we used to live, to here in Houston. And we were all, like, excited to see him, but we were also wondering how he did on the flight. And when he got off the flight, we asked him, he said, "Uncle Oscar, how did your flight go?" And he said, "It wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you this, I never put my full weight down on that airplane." And, you know, I hope you know by now I don't have an Uncle Oscar. But never put all your trust in politicians. Never trust the priest of your religion. Never put all your weight in personal relationships. It's an important thing that we realize it's okay to know I am not trustworthy, even though my Father trusts me, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So the second point's a little bit harder. So the first point is Jesus doesn't trust you. Second point might be like, when you hear it, you might be like, I don't know. So it's just basically that Jesus did not even trust himself while here on earth. Jesus did not trust himself while here on earth. Maybe your mind's going, what? How can we trust him if he didn't trust himself? Jesus was God. And Les, what are you talking about? Now, there's proof throughout the scriptures that we see that Jesus could only he made a choice to only do what his Father told him to do, to only do what he saw his Father do. So there's some areas in there that we can see that he did not trust himself. But I want you to look at Matthew, the first text we're going to, Matthew 26, verse 37. Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. I love this part. Jesus is sad. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus is not only sad, he's sad to the point of death. It hurts. It's painful. I imagine that it's crushing him. "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further by himself, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." He doesn't want to do what his dad's asking him to do. He doesn't trust himself. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." And if you want to mark that, "not as I will, but as you will," that's an amazing prayer to pray in time of need, in time of trouble, in time of anguish. We usually think of that when it's at the vision of our life. Should I take this job? But what if you prayed that when you were in conflict with your wife or with your child or with your boss? And you prayed, not my will, not my heart, not my soul, not my chooser, what I want, but what you want. Verse 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. And he says again, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Jesus doesn't trust what his flesh is telling him to do. He knows what's coming. And he's not a crazy man. He's not a lunatic. He's not someone looking forward to the cross. He's looking past the cross, beyond the suffering, beyond the grave, into him sitting with his Father and the joy of our salvation before him. Now, if Jesus doesn't trust you and Jesus doesn't trust himself while he's here on earth, then it's obvious that we shouldn't trust ourselves. But you know what? We're going to trust ourselves. That's a big human struggle that we have. We want to trust ourselves. We want to be right. We want to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and decide what's right and wrong. And we're over here going, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, I'll put that away, this is good. But then we're still choosing bad, but we're making choices and we're calling what's good bad and what's bad good. But really, Jesus comes and Easter is a story of saying, right here, just eat from the tree of life. Just eat this one truth, this one fruit, this one truth, and that's me. And that's why we had communion Friday night, which was awesome, by the way, David. You did a really good job. I don't think I told you that. Our Friday night at the Reed's house for a good Friday night was worship and just calm, good fellowship, but it was just really, really good. And I want to encourage you to go to some of those things. And we had a full house. It was great. But that idea that we're over here, that the Easter story does that. We're not over here deciding right and wrong. We're over here choosing. And my only choice, my dominant choice, my singular choice, that if I make this, not my will, but your will, not of my choosing, but of your choosing, then we will begin to make decisions based on life, and not on knowledge, not on death. So we're going to try our own way, our own will. Each one of us, the best of us. Some of us choose addiction. Some of us choose religion. Some of us choose depression. Some of us choose busy work. Some of us choose poverty. Some of us choose prosperity. And it's trusting in ourselves. I'll get it my way. We want to trust ourselves. It's our human nature. And we've trusted ourselves this past week. And we're going to trust ourselves this week. And God, when he comes down, and the whole Easter story is, let's break that trust on government. Let's break that trust of religion. Let's break that trust of self. Let's break that trust of people. That my happiness is not based on people. My prosperity is not based on my job. It's not based on what my past is. It's based on who Jesus is right now in my life. And so this area of trust, of Jesus not trusting himself, is a big deal. And I've got a secret for you. I'm going to share it with you. Not, I mean, you have to plug your ears or leave if you don't want to hear this. But if you're going to keep trusting yourself, then you will never become who you want to be. You will never become who you were designed to be. I don't care if you're 10 years old or if you're 60 years old. You'll never become who you want to be. You'll never walk as that person. I mean, as that business person, as that Christian, as that mom, as a follower of Christ, as you were designed and meant to be, and walk in that fullness if you trust yourself. You can look like it to other people, by the way, if you trust yourself. You can fool us, but you'll know that you're walking empty and dead inside. Jesus knows you need to be rescued, and in Proverbs 3:5 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Easter is all about the resurrected Christ in your life. It's all about you losing control, you choosing to lose control, releasing control of your will, choosing him, choosing life, not just once upon salvation, but every single day, every single moment of your day. Now, I want you to imagine this. Jesus doesn't trust himself. I want you to imagine Victoria, our 8-year-old, or your child being alone on their own. Okay? Imagine that in your neighborhood, in this town, everybody disappears except for Andra, except for Joy, or except for Victoria. Small children, nice children, good children, kind children, well-behaved children who have had a lot already going on for them, who've been given life and protection and love. But imagine everybody's gone now, and that one kid, I'm thinking of Victoria, is in my house. Now, Victoria can possibly stay alive for a long time. Fend for herself, break into homes, get food, find a way, struggle with neglect, abuse, poverty, and danger that she would constantly be in, loneliness and fear. She might live and she might grow up, but she would be wounded by her attempt of having to make it on her own, of being abandoned by everything, trying to make it on her own instead of having her mom and dad there taking care of her. I'm going to tell you, you were not created to make it on your own. Just because you're an 8-year-old Christian or a 50-year-old Christian or a 70-year-old Christian, you're still not created to make it on your own any more than my 8-year-old is meant or created to make it on her own. There's a television program in 1988 in the Winter Olympics, and they decided that they were going to have blind skiers for the first time. And what they did is they took a blind skier and paired them with a sighted skier or a seeing skier, and they went on just the flat part, and they taught them how to lean and go left and right and they taught them how to do that, and then they taught them to listen to their sighted partner. Their sighted partner, all they had to do was yell left or right, left or right, left or right. And the blind person, all they had to do to negotiate, to navigate down the hill, was to listen and to turn right or left. Obviously, they couldn't see anything. They didn't know what was in front of them. They'd never seen the course. They would never see the course while they were on it. They had to put their complete trust in that sighted skier. Jesus is our sighted partner. We're not meant to ski the mountain on our own. We are blinder always than we think. And we get some church experience, we get some breakthrough, we get some stuff going on, we drop our addiction, we get the better job, we quit doing the things we think we shouldn't do, and we read our Bible more, and we think, I'll take it, I'm sighted now. But we're not. We need Him. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit, the Master, to take us down the slope of life and where we're at. He's the one that makes us more than champions. And more than champion, Jim Sim, who most of you know, he's down in Boquete, Panama now, Panama Journey. Jim Sim years ago spoke a message about what more than a champion looks like. More than a champion is the champion's in the ring, he gets beat and bloodied and the hand in the belt, and the champion brings this big, beautiful belt over and gives it to his spouse. That's more than a champion. So we're more than champions. We're not meant to do all the hard work that we think we are supposed to do. And Easter provides us access to this Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit in new and fresh ways. Not just upon salvation, but upon each moment when we're in need, on each moment that we call out to Him. Jesus, Easter Sunday, the resurrection, the ascension, Him right here. Paul says abiding in us abiding in Him, and Him abiding in us, gives us wide open access to the Father. And it's a beautiful thing. And this resurrection we celebrate is supposed to be celebrated all the time. I know we get excited about Easter. We get excited about Christmas. I've never quite understood that because it's a one day that's supposed to be like all mashed into every one of our days. So the first point is Jesus doesn't trust you. Second point is Jesus doesn't trust Himself. And the third point is simply you can trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus, because I'm going to tell you, the kind of person you want to follow, the kind of man, the kind of woman you want to follow, is somebody who doesn't trust themselves, but fully entrust themselves to God the Father. That's the kind of person you want to follow. And Jesus is that person. Jesus is that Son. He can be trusted with everything we have, everything that we want to have, everything that we are, everything that we used to be, and everything that we want to be. And yes, even our eternity, but not just our eternity, but everything right here, right now. So on this third point, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read in the Message again. I don't normally share out of the Message, but I wanted to do that this morning. I hope you'll go and take this as this is a reason why you can trust Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus in your life ever and you want to do that, you'll have an opportunity today just by coming and talking to me. You can talk to Herman over here or David over here, and they'll tell you more about asking Jesus Christ in to be your Lord and Savior. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're new to Scripture or you're have been confused by Scripture, this Hebrews right in here is a good picture to look at Jesus maybe a little bit differently than you have before. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, Jesus destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us, children of Abraham. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. Jesus has experienced, as a man, all the pain, all the suffering, all the temptation, all the addiction, all the horrible experiences you will ever experience or have experienced or are experiencing now. You can trust him. You can trust him not just as a teacher, not just as a good guy, not just as a man that taught well. You can trust him as Lord and Savior over your life. And if the cross, if Easter, if the resurrection story proves anything, it proves that Jesus can be trusted, if you believe the story at all. But trust it to do what? Jesus can be trusted to do and to be who he says he is in the Word of God. He can be trusted to be that person to you today, to you tomorrow, to you in your marriage, to you in your health. He can be that person if you trust him. Jesus can be trusted that he's advocating for you, interceding for you to the Father as one with experience in the human life. Not just as a God who came here and suffered a little bit because he wasn't in heaven, but as a man who came and suffered through everything that you've suffered through. And he can be trusted. And he uses these words to send someone better than having him physically standing here right now. And that's the Holy Spirit that he sends, who abides, who comforts, who guides, who coaches, who counsels, who heals you, who gives you sight, who gives you spiritual hearing. He can be trusted to make all things new. All those wounds, all those experiences, all those bad memories, he can be trusted to wipe those out, to clean those up, if you will trust him. He can be trusted to give us peace in the midst of the storm, to close the mouths of the lions that roars at you every morning or every evening, the mouth of the lion that roars and calls you things that you aren't, but tries to convince you that you are. He can be trusted to be there in the midst of the fiery flames of the addiction, of the things that torment us. He can be trusted to cause you no harm. He can be trusted also in the very end to come again and to take us home to where we really, truly belong. There's a poem that I want to read right here. It says, "Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest." The question is, this morning on Easter Sunday, will you trust him? Not have you trusted him, although that's a question. But will you? Will you, as followers of Jesus, will you, as proclaimed, professed Christians, will you follow him? Not will you follow the governmental version of Christianity. Not will you follow the religion of Christianity. Not will you follow people who are Christians, but will you follow him? It might be for the first time. It might be for the millionth time. And that's the question. So if you'll stand, I want to close right here with this question. Will you trust Jesus this morning? This is what it takes to trust him, though. This is the problem we consistently run into. We run into the problem of ourself, that we trust ourselves more. So when I ask you, will you trust him? You have to say, yes, I will, and I will remove myself. I will choose his will over my will. I will choose his government over my government. I will choose his ways over my religion. I will choose his person, his personality, his personhood over my personality and who I am. So will you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? Go ahead and bow your heads. So will you trust Jesus this morning? And will you trust him in your marriage? Will you say, not my will, but thine be done? Will you trust him in your finances, saying, not my will, but thine be done? Will you trust him with your past sins and your hurt memories and say, not what I want, but what you want? Will you trust him with your addiction? Will you trust him with your emotional problems? Will you trust him with your mental confusion? Will you trust him this coming week? Will you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior?